All right, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Eternal Athletes Podcast. We are here to empower athletes to glorify Christ with their game and pursue a life with Him for eternity. I'm Ryan. This is my beautiful wife, Erin. We're current parents, but former players, coaches, and current spectators as well. So we love nothing more than to combine our passion of Jesus and apply it to sports. So, you know, this podcast brings a lot of sports stories to life and brings Jesus to life in a lot of ways. And we have a very special guest on today's episode of the podcast. She is a junior swimmer at Mount St. Mary's College. It's a D1 school in the MAC, the Mid-Atlantic Athletic Conference.
Metro.
Did I say that?
Metro Athletic.
Metro Atlantic Athletic Conference. Okay, got that. Got it right. Okay, so over in Maryland, so she is a junior swimmer over there. She competes mainly in the freestyle, the 50, 100, and 200 meter freestyle. She trains like crazy, like just, you know, 12 hours ago, you know, midnight, you know, she was just, you know, training and everything. So she's a super hard worker. But what's even more impressive is outside of, you know, sports and everything and swimming, her walk with the Lord and her upbringing. We'll get to, you know, chat about that and how she applies faith and sports and everything. So I'll stop rambling now. I know you guys just want to hear from our guests. So Madison Murphy, welcome to the Eternal Athletes Podcast. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Doing great.
Were you cringing when he butchered your conference name?
Because I felt so good saying that too. Yeah. I'm like, I thought I got it.
Sometimes you can be confident and wrong, okay. And that's okay. You just smile and someone will correct you.
Thank you.
But thanks for joining us, Madison. We always like to kind of kick off the beginning of our podcast, just kind of learning about where your faith kind of began, right? Whether that's something that you were born into and you grew up a part of that faith, if that's something that came later and maybe was strengthened as you got older through different hardships or maybe teammates or coaches that helped along the way. But kind of where did it start for you?
It started when I was little. My parents were like married. They both were Catholic. So obviously I went through everything. Actually locally at St. Christine's Church in Youngstown. So I grew up going there. My family was always really big into helping with the church, especially my grandparents. My grandpa helps at the St. Vincent de Paul Society, and they help with like the renewals and just all the little things, decorating the church, helping out. So I kind of grew up around it. I remember my mom sang in the choir, so I would sit there with her after work. She would pick me up. I'd sit in church, listen to them. Aww. And then I'm just always going to church. My mom, my dad, and I every Sunday, sometimes early, 7 o'clock in the morning, sometimes 9, sometimes 4 o'clock on a Saturday. But that was a constant in my life ever since I've grown up.
That's good. You had some variety. They kept you guessing on when you were going to church.
And then in some extracurriculars by default, I guess.
Yeah.
Kind of with your parents.
When I met Ryan, he always told me he thought he was going to marry a woman that sang in the choir. And that was his dream growing up. And you did not achieve that.
You
but that's
do
okay.
A great job
singing. Oh, I sing. I just, yeah. So then did you go to a Catholic like school, like high school too as well? Or...
No, I did not. My parents considered sending me to Catholic high school, just one of the local ones around here. But we lived in Canfield at the time, and that's just where, like, I went to high school, and so where I went, you know, grade school too. So,
yep. And this is in the Youngstown metro area for our listeners and everything. Yeah.
So, was that different from you going from like Catholic elementary school, like middle school, and then going to a school that didn't have like a religious affiliation?
I mean, not really. I think when I was younger, I understood it, you know, like the kid side of it to an extent. And then I really did not think much into it. And growing up, I don't know, it was like somewhat part of my high school life. And then I definitely, once I saw I was going to Catholic university, kind of opened up my eyes again. But as I was younger, I probably would say it was like a thought in my mind, but it was never like a, you know, huge like center point yet.
That makes sense. So like you were still going to church, like still going to mass or doing what you did on weekends with your family, but kind of more just like going through the motions, I guess, for lack of a better
basically
word.
Basically.
Like, maybe spread the week and all that. So
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I think that's normal. I think that happens. You know, I've mentioned that before. I went to church my entire life, but in high school and stuff, like when I was playing sports, my faith wasn't a part of that at that time. You know, it didn't intertwine, and that's okay. Cause it is now, you know, we all have our own timing. We all have our own stories. So when you were in high school swimming, were there any teammates or coaches or anything that you even saw at that time? Cause that would be interesting as far as like, did anybody pray before a meet, or was there anybody that you saw outwardly displaying their faith?
Not that I saw. I mean, I would probably say the only person was myself kind of once I transferred to Boardman. My mom bought me a little prayer cube, and I would like bring it to every meet. And I, in high school, even when I first started, I always make the sign of the cross before I get up on the block. It just is a normal thing for me to do. Yeah. And I noticed that after I was doing it, some of my teammates started to, but cool. Before then it was kind of, there was like never a conversation of like faith or if you needed to do anything. Like, I don't really think people were in that mindset of, you know, like connecting the two.
Yeah.
So it kind of took like one little spark, and then I started noticing like other people doing stuff too.
Okay.
That's inspiring. That's awesome. Something simple, but authentic too. I mean, I'm sure you weren't doing it, you know, out of, you know, any kind of, I guess, selfish reasons to, you know, force it upon other people. You're just doing it because, you know, it was important to you, and maybe try to level set right before you're about to, you know, jump in the pool and everything. Yeah. So
when you decided too that you were moving, yeah, you were going to be going to a Catholic university, obviously, I'm sure you knew you wanted to continue your athletic career into college. So what did it look like? Were you looking at other, like, did you know that's where you wanted to go, or were you looking at some other schools? And
Yes, I looked at a lot of other schools. I looked at playing golf too. I don't know what, I knew that I always wanted to be in the, like, Maryland, the DMV, so the DC, Maryland, Virginia area. I knew I wanted to study politics, so I wanted to find a place that, you know, could get me close to DC so I could follow that dream, and then I would also be able to continue athletics. They were actually the last school that I had emailed back. And my parents actually call this like my guardian angel story, because the coaches that led me through the recruiting process, I never met him. And he left right before I got to school. But he was just a really, like, he was so excited, and he kind of just sold me on the entire program. And I kind of looked at my parents and I was like, I've never met this guy. I don't know what I'm getting into. And they were like, but you've been led there for a reason. You just have to believe in it. Like, you're meant to be there. Like, my mom didn't go to like a Catholic high school or a Catholic university. My dad grew up in, like, my parents grew up in this area. So my mom graduated from Boardman. My dad graduated from Ursuline. So my dad had the Catholic upbringing, the, you know, Catholic all the way through high school. So they were like, okay, here's that part there where you're now going to go to a Catholic institution, you know, you're going to get that side of it. But they're like, it's a blessing and you have to see it through. And, you know, you never know what's going to happen.
I had chills with the recruiting person. Like, that's cool. Like, you still never met this person.
I never have. I had numerous phone calls with him. I can remember his voice. I know his name. I just remember he was super kind in all of his emails. And that was, you know, like, my parents, obviously, like, being in the faith too, they're like, that is your guardian angel, and you have to believe in it, and you have to like understand it. And that's when it started to like ramp up for me.
Yeah.
I love that. And I love the whole guardian angel story, you know, how we can call it that. You know, weirdly can kind of relate to where it's just like, you'd actually be surprised. I mean, cause the coach that recruited me, I played college football and everything, and I talked to him like a bunch throughout the recruiting process. And even though he was technically still at the school, he was the offensive coordinator and everything. I played defense. So like, once I got to the school, I didn't like talk to him, you know, as much anymore. But like, you know, he was a big part of my life, you know, before that and everything. So it still worked out for me, even though, you know, technically he wasn't a big part of my life, you know, once I got there and everything. Yeah. So
I think that's so important, too, because especially, you know, you never met this person and it doesn't seem as though you regret your decision being there. You've stuck it out. You've been there the whole time. You seem pretty happy with the way things are going now. But I think it just goes to show it's like not the place, it's the people, right? The people that you meet. You could go tour every school probably, but you just know, right? You just get that gut instinct and a feeling when you mm-hmm. believe in, you know what I mean? And do that. So yeah. I think that's cool. I think that's a good reminder too, that we can lead people to Christ just on our enthusiasm and our, how we make people feel, you know? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So probably a lot, I don't want to say easier or harder, but, you know, being away from the area, being out on your own, you know, having to live your faith out in the world as we know it, you know, lots of things going on out there. And we'll get to sports in a second and swimming and everything, but how do you think your faith is the last few years out kind of on your own in Maryland? I mean, do you find it pretty challenging? Got a good core group of friends out there? You guys can go to mass together or anything? I guess what's that all look like?
I think definitely going away helped me strengthen it. I always knew that I wanted to go away. Obviously, when I first left, I left early my freshman year, like about a month earlier to go to like a program to get more like college credit. So I, you know, was living my like senior year of high school, like summer, trying to do all of these things. And then I was just like, okay, you have to leave. And my dad coaches high school golf, so he couldn't move me in. So my mom had to do it, but then she had to get back for work. So she just left. And I was like, I need to find something that's a constant. So I started, that's when I was in a relationship, but I started, you know, looking more into like groups and kind of realizing like what was going to be that constant. And it was kind of, you know, it fell back to my faith because I had lacked a little bit my senior year of high school. And then kind of as I've gone through these last couple of years, you know, the challenges, I've found like good friends, and I've kind of been put in situations where it's really opened up my eyes. I met these two girls and they're like really into their faith, and they kind of were like, just come back to church, like just come back. And I didn't really like leave the church. I just wasn't as consistent as I normally was. And they were like, okay, we're going to meet for mass. Because on Sundays, we have, like, our church, it's called the Chapel of the Immaculate Conception. So the IC is just the abbreviation. They're like, we're going to go to IC. Mass is either 11 a.m. or 7 p.m. They're like, we'll go at 7 after dinner, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it kind of just brought me back. And so now it just is a constant in our group chat to be like, okay, are we going to 11 or are we going to 7? Or are we going to go to 9 o'clock seminary mass? Or are we going to go to mass at the grotto? Or are we going to go to mass and then, you know, go get coffee and like read scripture? Just kind of, it's just grown. And it's, even my friends have been like, wow, like you've really changed like since where you were freshman year, because freshman year was arguably like the first semester was like my most difficult, just mentally challenging. Academically I was like having a lot of fun, and then athletically too I was like learning the ins and outs of the season, but like mentally it was extremely difficult because it had finally hit me that I was away from my family. Like, it's what I wanted, and I was like, oh, this is what I wanted. But then I was like, do I really want this? Like, is this really where I'm supposed to be? Like, I started questioning everything, and I started questioning like why I was swimming and if I was just on the right path. And then it's just, I have that thing where I was like, oh, I should just go home. Like, if I go home to YSU, like, all my problems are going to be solved. And if I go to Ohio State and I do this, and that's where everybody is, and I'm going to have that life. And it just, my faith was the thing. And I was like, no, like, my parents kept saying to me, like, something's calling you to be here. Like, you're supposed to be here. You were led here. You're being taught things. You're receiving blessings. You're being changed. Like, you just need to stick it out. And then my faith has just gotten super, super consistent since then.
That's a great story and rundown. And, you know, it's hard to obviously summarize what, you know, your 2-3 years, right, in a few minutes. But I think you did a great job there, kind of questioning those first few months, and which is, you know, don't beat yourself up for it. We would say is, you know, we would feel that, you know, can be pretty normal in a lot of ways, kind of a culture shock, different area, different people. But it's, you know, I think it speaks to the power of like friendship and companionship, you know, having others that can lift you up and surrounding yourself with a great support system. And now you guys or girls have quite the variety on Sunday you can choose from, depending on, you know, what
you're still guessing, still keeping you guessing on what.
Dinner of mess, lunch of mess, you know, their breakfast, coffee.
I love
grotto.
That they just like assumed it too. They're like, you're coming back with us.
That's awesome.
They definitely are like a big blessing in my life. And like, we always talk about that because I was just going through like a breakup and just like something difficult, and I like needed that push, and I was trying to get it on my own because I just am like that. I'm like, I can fix it. I can do it. I can like change. And then I was like, no, I need to just get, I need somebody. And then it was just, I don't know. Once I met them, I was like, wow, like this is so, they're like so refreshing to the soul. It's like really nice.
Everyone needs that. I like that too, though, because I know when you're young and you go away and there's a lot of different life changes, and then you throw a breakup in the mix, like it can be hard on any young woman, athlete or not, as far as like, sorry, Ryan's women here, but like we beat ourselves up and we think it's us. Like, I wasn't good enough. Something happened to me. It wasn't me, you know, and then we try to fix ourselves, or we could go out and try and find those voids in other areas. And so it's refreshing to hear that you had friends that were like, instead of saying, hey, let's go out to the bar and do shots, forget about them, it was, hey, come to mass and coffee and scripture. So
oh, that's a friend.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Me wrong, like we would go out the night before. Like I don't I drive, like I'm the driver all the time because I just don't partake in that. It's not my thing. But then if I went to bed, you know, 2-3 o'clock, just by the time we got back, we would be like, okay, we're all getting up. But like, by the grace of God, we all made it to 11 o'clock.
I love it.
Dude, that's like the biggest win. If you're a college athlete, like I feel like that's honestly the biggest win, is doing it no matter what. Cause I think that trap right there, that little decision and commitment, I think can totally, I think it's important. Cause I think that can totally like keep someone on the path for Christ, or like, bring them away and like slowly, dive into more worldly stuff. That little discipline, not little, big discipline of, waking up on Sunday mornings, you know, even if you're up till 3 a.m. Gotta do it, you know, still gotta do it. And so that's very impressive. I have a lot of respect for people that do that. So
listen, we used to be able to do that too when we were when we were young.
Now, I don't even know what 3 a.m. looks like anymore.
Nowadays, it's like 9 p.m. And I'm like, oh, man, I am.
It's usually 8 p.m.
I was trying to make myself sound a little cooler. But yeah, he's right.
I go to bed early every night. I'm asleep by like 9:30 because I have to be up early. And my friends make fun of me all the time. But I'm like, no, I need to go to bed. Like, I need to be in bed. I love going to sleep. It is so nice.
It's one of my favorite things.
That's funny. I mean, either we'll get all ambitious too, like me and Aaron, like, oh, when the kids are asleep, you want to watch a movie or whatever. And it'd be like, if it's like 9 o'clock and we haven't started the movie yet, we're just like,
let's do it next weekend.
I don't think we can stay up for this.
That's okay.
Anyways,
Grandma used to always say anyone out past 10 was up to no good. So
the longer you live, the more you kind of realize that.
Yeah, it's true.
Anyways,
I love too how supportive your parents seem as well too. Like just being able to like keep you.
Yes, because you know it was definitely. We always talk about it just because of like where I'm at. Like I'm gonna finish in 3 years, and they're like, "This the difference when you came home first semester your freshman year." They were like, "It was extremely difficult for us." My parents are, they both work. They're both very busy. So I kind of grew up with like my dad being gone, coaching, teaching lessons. My mom works a full-time job. So just being like everybody being on their own was normal. And then for them, me going away and struggling and them trying to, you know, also live their lives. Like I put them through so much, and I was putting myself through a lot, but you know, they're my parents. They like put me on this earth. They feel it. Like my mom would call me after, like, she would know I had a bad day without even me saying anything. And she'd be like, I like, is something wrong? Like, something's wrong. Like, you're struggling. I can tell. Like, they just, they knew. And then once I started to kind of figure everything out, they've even noticed for themselves. They're like more relaxed. They're like, okay, you're fine. Like, we know you're okay. Like, they're like, it's hard. They're sending their only daughter.
Yeah.
4.5, 5 hours away to a different place on my own. And they're like not used to that. And then they're like trying to make sure that they're still living their lives because it's their first time living too. So
it's an adjustment for everybody. Mm-hmm. They've probably been praying a lot more too since you've been not.
My mom and I will send each other like Bible verses back and forth, or we'll see something. Or she'll send me usually stuff before I swim. And she'll be like, just relax. Like, you're okay. Like, this is what, like, I've been thinking about. Or I also, just being at a Catholic university, you have, you know, theology is integrated into your stuff. And just bringing up those topics is normal. So every time, like, I would have classes, I'd be like, guess what I learned? Like, guess what I learned? Like, we just dove into this in the New Testament. Like, guess what I learned? Guess what I learned? And I would just sit, because after my, like, one of them was a night class, and she would be, my mom goes to bed early, so I'd have to like watch, because sometimes she wouldn't answer because she'd be asleep. But I would like text her and I'd be like, I learned this. And it just, like, that kind of started to like ease everything too, because then we would just get into conversations about that, because I was lucky. I grew up like that was normal conversation. It wasn't weird talking about faith or being kind of like shutting it down or avoiding it. My mom would be like, no, like, this is my take on it, like, this is how I interpret it, because everybody's interpretation is different. So
I love it. And I'm sure she doesn't mind waking up to those, like, if that's the first thing she sees when she wakes up, or these things that you sent her after your class. I'm curious too, now that I'm thinking about it too, with your parents, especially your dad, right? You growing up being an athlete and swimming and golfing and everything, how did it like help having a, because it's one thing, most kids grow up, maybe they have parents that can guide them in their faith, maybe they have parents that can guide them from a coaching athletic standpoint, but you kind of had both, I guess, and your dad. So, like, was there anything that stuck out to you as far as like lessons you learned from like having, living with somebody who coaches kids daily and also has that, those same like values, I guess,
his Christian? I would say probably patience and grace is the biggest takeaway from both of us, because I would play so many golf tournaments all the time. My dad and I would travel, like, it was our thing. Well, obviously he was my caddy, and there was sometimes not be that differentiation between father, daughter, and coach and student. So I would, like, quote unquote, fire him, because I would lose my patience and I would get all mad. I'd be like, oh, dad, like, what are you doing? And it just, and he would be like, okay, like, go and do it on your own. Figure it out on your own. Like, you got to figure it out. He's like, you have to learn patience. Like, it's a gift. He's like, you have these God-given talents. Like, you're able to play like multiple sports, like, you have to understand that. But he's like, you have to understand the other gifts. Like, you need patience in certain situations, and you need to give yourself grace. You can't be a perfectionist. There's one perfect person on this planet that, you know, everybody knows, and like, you can't, as much as you want to strive towards it, you're never going to fully be able to reach that. So he's like, you have to give yourself patience. You have to. And that was probably, looking back after the numerous, you know, disagreements we had and arguments and silent car rides home and just notes that were being written down, like, you need to fix this and fix that. It was always like, I took away the fact that I needed patience. And I'm so glad that I like went through all those like problem areas, because it just, now I have patience in certain situations. I'm like, oh, it reminds me of it. I'm like, oh, I need to just slow down and be here and be present, and realize that like life is going to work itself out, and I can't just, you know, jump to conclusions and get all mad, and I need to like relax and kind of channel it and be like, it's okay, like, you're fine, like, things are fine. But
I love that. Are you laughing because I need to learn that?
Well, what I want to do is, like, I want to clip this, these last 2 minutes, and like put it at on your alarm. Like,
you're going to wake up to your voice, Madison, teaching me to have patience.
You need to listen to that every day.
Yeah, we all still learn. We're all still learning. You know, I'm a little behind. I'm a slow learner in that, I guess. Well, I think golf, though, like you, it does require patience because that's something. I did one golf outing this last fall. And the first, I'm not going to lie.
I wish I could have seen that.
Like after the eighth or ninth hole, I was like, we're only halfway done. Like, I'm ready to be done. And it was so frustrating, but I do see why people like that. You just get one good, like, connect, and it's like, it feels good.
Feel like you can do it every time.
Yeah, and then the next one, it's like.
So the next 20 are just like.
Well, that's what the struggle is. You want to be a perfectionist. Like, I see it in myself. Like, I want every single thing. You are looking for the perfect round or the perfect shot, the perfect, you know, impact. And it just shows you, like, you can't have that. It's like one in every couple shots or one in every, like, couple rounds. You're going to, everything is going to come together. But even then, you're still going to have a mistake. You're still going to have, because you just can't fully be, like, perfect. So it just, like, teaches you, like, golf. My dad always, he's like, golf is the game of life. Like, it teaches you so much. And you have, like, no idea how much it can, like, influence your life.
The thing about golf, too, that maybe this is just an Aaron thing, so correct me if I'm wrong, but as a life comparison, half the time, I don't even know what I'm shooting at. Like, I can't even see what am I aiming at. And they're like, it's like past that yellow thing up there. And, like, I don't know if it's just me that can't find where it is, but I feel like, yeah, how am I supposed to be great at something if I don't even know the goal? Like, I can't even line up straight. Do you
gotta, like, get your new contacts?
No, I just feel like it's just like sometimes the hole, I felt like it's like, oh, across that pond next to that tree. And I'm like, how do you
just hit it that way where the trees aren't?
I know. I tried. I lost a few balls that round too. That one. I found some.
Well, let's transition now. I'm sure everyone listening is just like, all right, guys. let's talk about who is perfect. Jesus, right? And maybe how he applies the sports for you in your case of, like, swimming and everything. I know you're mentioning you're doing the sign of the cross and everything, you know, before going up on the, what's it called?
The board.
The block.
The block. Okay. yeah, before, like, going up there and stuff. So how else?
I'm sure it probably.
Big or small, there's, like, no, you know, right or wrong answer, of course. But, like, how else would faith play a part in, like, either practicing, you know, pre-race, post-race, during the race? How?
Especially now, since it sounds like you got teammates that are strong in your faith, too.
Yeah. I would say probably during practice, you were obviously staring at a black line for hours on end. So you're stuck with yourself and your thoughts. And obviously you're gasping for air. You're pushing your body to its limits. I actually found myself last week because I had a double on Friday right after finals week. And
what's a double?
Like, we have practice in the morning and then practice at night.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Double.
Okay.
So, I'm sorry, I'm proud to clarify. So I was with my friend and we were doing this set at night and we were right at the end and I found myself in my head. I was like, you're okay. Like, God would not put you through this if he didn't see you, like, finishing the set. Like, you're okay. Like, because I was just so mentally, we came back from a meet in New York, our mid-season, which is kind of where you just get up, race, you see where you're at. We were fortunate enough to be in New York City right around the holidays, so which was really, really cool. My parents came to visit. It was really nice. But we had gotten back, missed the first day of finals, so everybody's scrambling. A million projects due, assignments due. I called my parents. I was like, I'm not going to be able to talk. Like, I'm going to be fine. But I just, even throughout that week, I just would read my Bible, and I'd be like, you're okay. Like, you're okay. Like, Jesus is going to help you through this. Like, you're fine. Just relax. Like, the patience thing. Like, I just wanted to be done. Like, I was like, okay. Then I wanted to make sure I didn't put in, like, less effort just because I wanted to be done. But then when we got to the practices, because notoriously in swimming, Christmas break is the hardest time mentally and physically. You have no classes. All you're doing is training. You're training, training, training right before you are a couple weeks away from conferences, and I will just find myself during these practices just being here. It's like, okay, God's got you. Jesus has got you. Just talk to him. I'll start talking to him like through the sets. I'm staring at a black line. Like, I'm not looking at anything. I'm just thinking about everything and everyone in my life, and just especially him. And that's probably like practice. Yeah.
I like that. And in a way, I can't relate to swimming a ton other than just basic, you know,
recreational.
Yeah. I know what you're, I'll try to relate it in the sense of running, how it, you know, I ran, you know, 2 marathons the last year or whatever, and you just kind of like get going. It's just like 1 foot in front of the other, 1 foot in front of the other, like just staring at the black line, staring at the black line, you know, can kind of get, you know, boring in ways. But running can be therapeutic too, especially if you're praying while you're running and all that too. So, I don't know. Hopefully, you're probably a little bit more exhausted swimming, if I had to guess. So it might be tougher.
Yeah, because your face is in water.
I get it. I get it.
Oh, I am exhausted after I run too. Like when I do it in the off season, I start questioning like why I did it in the first place. I'm like, why did I start running? Like I'm like equally out of breath. Like in Orange Theory, when I run on the treadmill, my heart rate spikes, and they'll come up to me and they're like, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm fine. I think
it's just like, who I am. I just live my life in the red."
Yeah, it's normal. We're okay. Like,
dude. Yeah, I'd be curious, like, if Erin wore her heart rate monitor all day. Like,
I would be in the red during the day because I'm just like, I need to breathe. So I'm going to listen to Madison's episode every day until I learn patience and just relax.
Yes.
And I always hear you say you're okay. So I got to keep telling myself you're okay.
That's great. And I love how you picked up a teammate too. Like, God's got you. Like, you know, we can do this and everything. So that's great. What about like a Bible verse or anything? I mean, this isn't like football where you can paint anything on your, you know, face, unless some people start doing that. I don't know. What do you do? Your favorite Bible verse or like anything during meets besides maybe sign of the cross?
I say a little prayer.
Okay.
Before, like when I'm like making the sign of the cross, I unfortunately have like some shoulder problems, and last year was a year in which they were really difficult. And so my faith was probably the only thing that was getting me through. I kept telling myself I'm going through this season for a reason. Like it kind of was a little bit of a setback. I didn't perform how I wanted to. But one thing, like I have 2 Bible verses that I usually carry with me. 1 Corinthians 13:14, or let all that you do be done in love. My mom's big thing is love. She has stuff all over my mirror back there is in the shape of a heart. She'll send me stuff. She loves that verse. I love that verse. There's like hearts all around here because she's just like, Jesus, they poured love into your heart. He loves you. He died for you. Like, that is just the most incredible love that you can ever receive. And then I always do Psalm 37:4. So delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. I actually have it on my computer in a little bubble. Yeah. That's what I was reading up there because it's right there. And then like my background is a picture of me and my like roommates. Like we have a cute little thing, but it's just that little reminder. So those 2, I probably would say I like see on the daily, like all the time. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's great. And I know swimming, it's individual, but a team, you know, sport, you know, in a lot of ways. I mean, how's the faith on the team? I know you mentioned a few, you know, girls that, you know, kind of you partake in, you know, your faith with. How's the team? I mean, does a team pray together? I don't know, anything like that? Or
we don't pray together beforehand. Just because, like, the team is just a mix of different people. And that's one thing that's nice is, like, they're not going to they're not going to be like, you have to do this. Like, you, just because you're at a Catholic institution, like, you have to pray before this. Like, no, like, people do their, you know, own things. We're also just very supportive of each other. Like, we had some people 2 years ago go through RCIA. So we all showed up to Mass on that Sunday. We were just all in like a big group and we were like so excited. But it's just, we're lucky. So because we have the seminary, the Mount St. Mary Seminary, each team has chaplains. So we have three, and we have two of them lead the women's team Bible study, and then one of them leads the men's, and then sometimes we'll do combined, but that's usually like right before church on like Sundays. So that's like a thing, and it's like not mandatory, but they're like encouraging us. And then one thing too, the sports chaplains always do things for like the entire athletics department so that you can talk about, you know, Jesus, and you can like see other people from other teams, and you can talk to other chaplains, and you can do whatever you want to do. But like as a whole, it's just kind of you do what you're comfortable with, which is really nice, because some of my teammates, you know, were like extremely like committed to their faith, and that's just, you know, they have certain things that they do. And some people are on the complete other end where they are aware and they're like, yeah, I'm not active in the church right now. That hasn't been my thing. I didn't grow up like that. But, you know, all love and respect, you know, everybody goes their own way.
I think that's fine, too, because I think it's almost one thing when you do things because you want to do them, not because you know what I mean? Your team is doing it. And then I think it gives more credibility, right? So if I'm that person in the locker room that maybe I'm not active in my faith and that's not my thing, but just seeing somebody like yourself, people are watching. Do you know what I mean? And then when they see like how consistent people are in their faith and just the kind of person that they are and how they do things with love and how they are, if it's not now, maybe later. Do you know what I mean? I just think like you're still setting that example and planting those seeds for teammates and for other people to see. And then it's not up to us when that happens for them, you know, but so they're on their own journey. They're on their own story. I think what's amazing is, and what I'm hearing is it's not judging, right? Because I think the worst thing is to be like, hey, why don't you pray with me and like do this? And then you kind of push them away almost instead of just pulling them towards you by doing the right thing over time, even though you might not see it. Maybe you're someone's guardian angel. And then later in life, they're going to be like, I was in a locker room with Madison and she would pray and she would do this and all her own thing. And she was a kind person. And so I started reading the Bible. You never know. That could happen.
I think it in a lot of ways is too. I mean, it, you know, just from the ripple effects and maybe the sign of the cross and stuff, you know, something simple like that, you know, can be something great that other people can, you know, see and emulate and see you live out and not being scared to do it. I mean, as simple as it is, I mean, still people are, you know, scared to do the sign of the cross in public, right? You shouldn't be, you know, in any way. So, well, that's great. And then I know you mentioned probably the hardest part of your faith journey was your freshman year, right? Was there any other times in sports where you like thought about giving up swimming, or was it mainly that freshman semester?
It was probably freshman. Yeah, first semester, freshman year. And actually last spring, earlier this year, I hit another like pretty low point, just, you know, dealing with injury. I just didn't understand like what was causing this, like just not really the injury, but the kind of like downfall of it all. I just was not in a good place. But I don't know, I think going through my freshman year definitely helped me in the spring, because I just made sure that, you know, I stayed consistent with it, which it pulled me right out of it. Mm-hmm. So
good.
And I would say that's important too, is obviously like it's wild, like, right? Like that freshman year probably didn't feel very good, but it just gave you, it was leaving you a clue for later in life that you would need to know this experience and lean on it and know you're okay and that you can get through that. And I don't know. I feel like a lot of a common theme, I don't know, Ryan, that you notice too when we talk to some collegiate athletes are those injuries. You know what I mean? Because I think sometimes for that first time, it's something you can't control, you know, because most athletes, right, are just built different. Not that other people don't work hard, but I'm just saying like you're so focused and want to work hard and be the best and do everything that you can to continue and grow. And when things like an injury happens, all of a sudden it's like, I literally can't do the workouts I can do right now. Like I can't, all the things you used to be able to control, you no longer can. And that's when we have to really, you know, not trust our own understanding, right? Or try to have our own, we got to let go, you know?
let go, let God.
Easier said than done.
Yes. So it sounds like, you know, you've done that, you know, to the best of your abilities and everything. So what's next for you? You know, it's December, it's Christmas break. You're in season. Yeah. How's that work? But you're home.
You've asked six times already.
I am in season.
Oh, I thought you were having
no.
Yeah. Like after finals week, we don't really get breaks in the first semester. Like I had a few days off for Thanksgiving and then I had to go back and swim. I had a few days off for we have a fall break and we're like fortunate enough that it's a week, but I only had 3 days off and I was training the entire time. So this is just kind of the time where we go home. You're still training on your own. You're just everybody, you know, is in their own different points. And then we'll come back and then leave for a training trip, which is in Florida. So that's kind of where I'm at now. That's in couple weeks in January. We come back, start the second semester, and then we have basically like a month and then the season's over.
Okay, so it's it's extensive, training, lots of travel, which can be fun. Yeah,
yes.
In a lot of ways too. So
a lot of endurance.
So are you just sticking with the 50, the 100, and 200 freestyle this year? Are you trying anything else or?
I like sometimes throw in different things. I talk to my coaches all the time. I'm constantly adjusting my training, constantly adjusting what events I'm doing. Those are just the main three. You usually pick meets or 3 to 4 days. So the first day I will do the 50. The second day I'll do the 200. The last day I'll do the 100. And obviously there's like different events on different days and you kind of go through like trial and error of what three you want to do. But those are kind of just what I got recruited for, kind of what I've stuck with. I kind of tried new things freshman year and I had fun with them. But then I fell back to this. Wow.
I had no idea they were that many days long.
Yeah, me neither. I thought it was just like a track meet. It was just like a few hours.
Like fairly draining. When I swam a couple weekends ago in New York, I think I had 10 races in 3 days. So it was a lot on my body. I was definitely feeling it afterwards.
I feel like that's something wild too with like swimming because it's like gun goes off, you go do your thing, however long it takes, and then you're done. Where, you know what I mean? Like to just mentally get ready,
like,
right? It's not like a game,
hours.
Like basketball. Like you're playing a couple hours, you can, you know, it's just like.
That's crazy. Like
keeping yourself ready.
Is that weird?
Ready.
Like training, 8 hours a day? All right. What's a long training day hours wise for you?
Like for me, probably like 4 to 5 is
four
like
to five.
Long. Yes.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. And the race is like. What?
I don't know.
A minute?
It just depends on what you're doing. So the 50 is like, 22 to 24 seconds. The 200 is like a minute and 50 to like 2 minutes. And then 100 is like 50 seconds. So you're putting like hours of work in for just something really quick that like spikes your heart rate and then you're done. That's why it's like extremely demanding.
Yeah.
I would say, like, mentally and physically.
So you gotta be like, on it, like, on it, on it. Like, when it's time to go, you can't be like, dude.
There's no warm. That's not the warm up.
Yeah.
It's just like.
Yeah, you gotta be ready.
Yeah. Yeah. No, like, do overs and like, that's crazy.
I would false start all the time, I have a feeling, if I was. I don't know. I just feel like I'd have too much, like, I'd just be ready.
Oh, it's one thing when you, like, are learning when you're, like, on the block and you're, like, because right before the horn goes off, you could like hear a pin drop anywhere. It just goes dead silent and you have to make sure that your body is like completely still. Like you twitch your arm, like you go like this or your like toes go up, they will like call you.
Really?
And then if you like, if your start is like slow, if your turn is off, if you take a breath when you're not supposed to, A, your coaches are going to be mad, but B, it's just that stuff in like hundreds of seconds, you just could be like off. Because if you miss like a cut time, because it's something like cut times or big things, like if you hit a certain point, obviously you qualify for certain meets and you go here and you go there. But if you're off by like 0.01, they're like, you're off by 0.01. It doesn't matter. You should have gone faster. Like that's just what they tell you. Like better luck next time. Like, you
there's
can't get
no
a deal
bounding
on.
Up swimming.
No, just if you're like want to break 20, like if you're a guy and you want to break 20 seconds in the 50 and you're like 20.01, they're like, well, okay, like you're 20.01, like should have been 19.99, like like better luck again. But it's like,
wow.
That's crazy. And I don't want to get too into the weeds of swimming, but just you're really curious and everything. That. So like you have to be like really big on technique then. I mean, when you're doing 4 or 5 hour training days, like are coaches constantly like looking at you like arm in or whatever it is?
Yeah, I would say so. I'm lucky I'm like close with my coaches, and we actually got like a new staff this year, and I really like them. The team really likes them. Like they adjusted really well to all of us, and we're a crazy group, you know. Like we're all a bunch of, like we're like one big happy family. It's like what we we say when we take our group pictures. We're like, let's act like one big happy family together. But they're constantly looking at different times. Some practices early in the morning. Like they'll pull you aside. And they'll be like, hey. They call me by my last name, so they call me Murph. Mm-hmm. They're like, hey, Murph, like, you know, like, keep your head tucked or, like, watch your arm or do this or don't breathe here. Actually, like, I was doing a practice a couple weeks ago before I left for midseason with my head coach, and I spent an extra 45, 50 minutes just working on my start, literally working on taking my body. Cause when your start's like, obviously it's like your track start, but you're just raised up. So I was working on taking my body from here to here. Like the slightest, like I was watching video and he would go back and forth. And he'd be like, on this one, your knee moved before your hands moved. And on this one, your body moved together. And this is where you have to be. So it's like the smallest adjustments. Literally, I was there for an extra like 45 minutes watching like the film, like a 10 second video of me doing a start over and over and over and over and over again.
That's crazy.
Wow. But that's what it takes. It's those little things. And it's nice to have a coach that can walk you through those. And
I love how like detail oriented that is. Cause, you know, from someone not familiar with swimming too much, other than just the recreational stuff and seeing it in the Olympics, right? You know, there's like details and everything, but just the littlest things of what can shave off that hundredth of a second and everything. So lots of details there. And I'm sure that takes lots of discipline and, you know, humbling yourself to receive the coaching and we're sure obviously the faith, you know, upbringing and your active faith life obviously helps with receiving the coaching, implementing, you know, whatever techniques you need. So as we bring this in for a landing, kind of want to just, you know, give the floor to you, like we have been. I know you kind of went over a few things already, but just anything you want to share for Christian athletes, you know, Christian, you know, swimmers in general, 15-year-old Madison, what you would tell her, anything at all you'd want to leave a message for a Christian athlete, what would you say to them?
Probably just to be like yourself and allow your faith to just like shape your life. I mean, it truly changed mine. I was in a pretty dark place freshman year. I thought that everything obviously was fine. I was struggling. I was like, oh, it's like, it's okay. Cause I notoriously will always tell people, like, they're like, oh, are you okay? I'm like, I'm okay. And it's just, or if I am sick or injured, I'm like, I'll be fine. Like, I'm going to be okay. Like, I know I'm going to be okay. And then I started realizing that was like rooted in my faith. Like, I am going to be okay because I have, like, I can talk to Jesus and I know that he's going to like walk me through it and tell me that I'm going to be okay. And then especially going through a breakup was exactly what like led me back into being like extremely consistent with it. Cause I was just in a super like dark place. I just didn't know really what happened. Like I went through it by myself. I did it. I made the decision. I had gotten out of practice and I had talked to my dad on the phone. It was super early in the morning. I was like, I need to do this. This is what the best decision is for me. Like, I just know that this isn't it right now. And I made the decision. And then I didn't, because I, where I was in the season, I wasn't going to see my parents for another like couple months. And I was like, they're the only people that I need right now, but I need to like be strong enough to do this on my own. And that's kind of what led me. And I was like, okay, I talked to Jesus and I like sat, I hadn't gone in the chapel in a long time. And I like sat there by myself for hours on end. And I was like, is this the right thing to do? Am I like crazy? Am I just like in my head? Should I come home? Should I do this? And then once I got out of that, I kind of got my message and like I met the girls that, you know, helped me get back into it. That second semester, I was like a completely different person. Like I came back, I was like refreshed. I was like, I immediately told my parents, I was like, we're going back to church. Like we're going, like we're getting up. Not that they like hadn't been going, but they were like so excited that I was just like on top of it. Like I was like, all right, we're leaving at this time. We're going to church. Like we are going to be present. Like we are going to be there. And then I also, because of the girls that I met, like in their connections, I was fortunate enough, I got to spend the day in DC with some seminarians at Catholic University. And we were walking in the National Mall and they were like, be open and honest with us. And I was like, okay. And I dumped my entire life story out. I dumped the breakup out and I was crying with them. And they were like, Jesus loves you. Like he's there for you. You need to talk to him. Like that was definitely like a turning point. That was like in August, September of 2024, again, where I was like, okay, like I'm going to start to really take this seriously. I'm going to start to get more involved. Like that was it for me. Like I needed that another push where I was like, okay, like this, like you just be starting to really make it my center point. And after that, you know, I just started attending things and, you know, talking to my friends about it. And, you know, they were just like, we all started to, you know, get more involved together. And then, I don't know. I was just, with how like crazy swimming is and just the time, like the only constant is like just Jesus. And that's the thing that I love about it is like, then it just, I started to, because I didn't have a Bible. Like my mom had a Bible and she would read it and I would look at it when I was younger and I'd flip through it and I'd be like, oh my gosh, like this is so cool. And then my dad would tell me stuff and I'd be like, okay. And then it was some point last year I came home and I was like, I'm going to go buy a Bible and some highlighters. And my parents were like, okay, like, okay, like you, okay. And I just literally now I like highlight a verse daily. Like I'm rereading Romans right now because I like connect with my friends on it and they just, they pray about stuff. And I'm like, fortunate, like one of my good friends, he plays basketball and he was like, I like noticed that I like kind of fell off of it again. Like actually a couple, like within the last month, I like didn't pick up my Bible once. And he was like, reread Romans, like do it, just do it. And he's like, it's beautiful. And I was like, okay, I'm going to restart there. And then I literally like every single night I will read a couple chapters and I'll like analyze it and I'll like talk about it. And then I was just like realizing that it's just, it's so refreshing. It just makes me happy. And that's what I'm loving. I'm like, once you find that, it's like the same feeling that you get when you're working out. It's like, it's addicting. You don't want to let it go. So I'm like, why am I going to stop and like let go of something that's like making me feel good inside?
And you light up when you talk about it.
Yeah.
I love it. That was...
That's the, we need to re-listen to that a few, yeah. a few times too, along with the whole patience talk earlier here. So that's an awesome testimony with that. You know, even going back to like, you know, how you're spending like hours in the chapel and, you know, reminds me of like Jesus going into the desert to pray, you know, before, every, you know, it's just like, you got to make time. You got to go pray, you know, be by yourself and pray. So that's awesome. You know, Christ, you were saying is like the only constant. Yeah. And I love how you have, you know, these friends, again, another friend, hey, get back into Romans, you know, read it and stuff. So it's awesome that you're surrounding yourself with great people there. So this has been awesome and very fun and insightful, Madison. You've shared a lot of great pieces and, you know, an inspiring story in a lot of ways and, you know, words of wisdom to follow Jesus and, you know, apply it to sports and, and everything. So, it's been a blast having you on here. So, you have any other questions, Erin?
I don't have any other questions. I just appreciate you taking time to share with us, because I know every story matters. And, you know, the more we can, you know, keep hearing story, right? Like, all of us have our own story. You're going through everything you're going through for a reason, and you've been handed, right? Like, all those people that are in your life right now that are guiding you back to the Bible when we kind of fade off and wonder why we ever stopped, and keeping those people around, and that you're that person for other people. And our whole goal and hope with this podcast is that the more other young athletes can hear stories of other struggles and testimonies of other athletes, that it would continue them to bring Christ alive in their sport as well. So I appreciate you sharing your story with us, because I know we're inspired, and I'm sure it'll inspire others listening as well.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Way to be bold, Madison. So, all right, we'll bring this in for a landing.
You gonna pray for us?
Pray. I am. Okay. Yes. All right. God, thank you for this amazing day. Thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for the opportunity to live, love, grow, give, and serve our gifts for the greater good of this world. Please help us be all we were created to be. Help us be holy. Help us be saints. Please bless Madison. Please bless her on her swimming journey and at her time at Mount St. Mary's. And please bless the rest of her swimming season. Bless her teammates, her coaches, obviously her parents as well. And please shine your light upon her and allow you to work through her so she could spread the gospel in everything she does. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Amen. All right. Well, thank you so much, Madison, for coming on. All right, everyone. Thanks. Yes, absolutely. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. Have an amazing day. We'll talk to y'all later.